Good morning, everyone. My name is Sammy Kabiemera Atoki. And it's our time for the Word of God. So let's have our seat and enter to the Word of God. Yes, as I was saying, my name is Sammy, Pastor Sammy. And for those who is the first time to be here in the church, this is my church. This is a place I always fellowship every Sunday. I like here. And we are always blessed to be part of this beautiful family and community. I'm blessed with a beautiful wife. My wife is Eva. She's there sitting in the, she's the one who pray for me every day, so I'm so glad to have her. And we are blessed with 6 children, 2 girls and 4 boys. And Israel has made me a grandpa already. So Israel has been a blessing for us. And then I have 2 grandchildren. I have Joshua and also James. It's a privilege to be here today. It's an honor to stand before you. I always thank the elder of the church and especially Pastor Vicky, who most of the time gives me the opportunity to come and stand before you. Thank you very much to give me the chance to stand and give the Word of God. Before I go to that message of today, I would also like to anticipate by giving this invitation for the wedding that in the African community, they wanted me to help one couple by officiate their marriage. Unfortunately, that day coincided with the family camp, the August the 18th, that will be Saturday. And it's a family camp here. I'm going to miss the family camp. I didn't want to miss that, but they just say, you help us because everything is set. I tried to convince them to change the date, but they couldn't. They say they already set everything. They cannot change the date. So I'm going to miss that family camp. So August the 18th, there will be a wedding in this church. Thank God for the elders who also have a agreed to give us the space for officiate that marriage for that young people. That will be for Florence, the girl, and Joshua, the gentleman. So that will be August the 18th. So for those who are not going to make it to the family camp, you are very welcome to join us to that African wedding. And you're going to dance in African way. Too much fun. Okay, so shall we pray, church? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for opening a door for us to be in your house. We thank you for, Lord, giving us another opportunity to be alive among the living people. We know many people are already gone, but if we are still living, it's because of your grace. So we are so grateful for that. And thank you, most of all, for leading us in this place, and thank you for your Holy Spirit that is ready here to lead us through your word. And as I'm standing before your people, I need you to use me, oh Father, use me as a vessel that you've chosen today. I give you praise, and thank you for our brother and sister who are our listeners. Lord, help them to grasp your word and hear your word and accept your word and also put it in practice, as the Bible says, that we should not only be the hearer of the word, but the doer of the word. So we thank you for that, oh Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. My topic today is about a very, very easy topic, very simple, easy topic, and I like it. My topic says, hope in God never disappoint. Can you give a good clap for Jesus for that? That's a wonderful topic. I like it. I'm blessed already, even before I preach it. Hope in God never disappoint. point. That's a topic that I'm going to speak about today. I'll be reading in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. Therefore, and if you have your Bible there in the pew, it's 1355. That is the page, 1355. If you have the Bible in the pew, you can read that with us. But if you follow also at the PowerPoint, it's okay. The Bible says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace, in which we now stand, and we boast in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. And verse 5 is the key point where we're going to stand. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And also, there is a passage that I want to read. It's in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'll be reading a couple of verses and I'll jump over another. So I want to go so swift as well. 1 Samuel chapter 1. The Bible says, there was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Ziphite, from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zaph, and Ephraimite. I'm sorry if I pronounce it not good. This is a Hebraic name. The Bible says here, he had two wives. One was called Hannah and the other Penina. Penina had children, but Hannah had none. Verse 3. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eliah, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of priest of the Lord of the meat to his wife Penina and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord has closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once, when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eliah the priest was sitting on his chair by the door post the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly, and she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. Verse 12, as she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. If we jump, we go to the verse 17. The Bible said, Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Verse 19, early the next morning she arose and worshiped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, Because I asked the Lord for him. Amen. What a long reading, sorry. That's wonderful. As I'm talking about never giving up, because hope in the Lord never disappoint, this reminds me one thing as well about my life. I came here in 2008 with a family of eight, as I told you, six children, and me and my wife and myself. We had some challenge sometime in terms of transportation with a big family. It was not easy, especially being in this country for the first time, and in the winter time, it was so hard. Very, very hard, standing there waiting for the bus with this African way, and too cold, you know. And it was very, very hard. For those who are here, you remember in 2008, there was terrible snow here. So it was not easy for us. It was very, 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 very challenging. But I had hope. I was telling my wife, you know what? Very soon I'll be driving you guys, so take heart. I'll be driving you. They said, no. You can't do it here. It's quite tough. I told them I'll be doing it. Just it's a matter of time. I'll read this book and try to prepare myself, and I will drive one day. So to make the story short, I went for the knowledge test for the first time. Unfortunately, Sammy failed. And you know, I prayed a lot too, and I failed. So I came back quite disappointed, and I didn't tell my wife. You know, when I fail, I never say. That's my problem. They know it. My wife knows it. When I fail for something, they'll not know it. So I kept quiet and praying and praying. And I went in the public library and I stood that book, read that book, hit that book seriously, and memorized something which is very key. And I said, well, now I'm ready. I went again. And there, at a very far branch, I said, I'm not going to go to the same branch anyway. So I went there. Sammy failed once again. And I came from there. I said, God, is that I'm not going to be driving or what? So I was like sick that day. But I had hope. I said, I know one day it will be okay. So for the third time, I passed. I got the L. So I came home. Unfortunately, by law, you can't drive with that L. You can't drive your people. And I start doing my practice. I went to young drivers for the getting a little good habit and being taught a good foundation of driving. So I went there for the course. And then the instructor started teaching me. And then I went for the road test. So I was, hey, I'm going to get N. Young people, so you wait. Sunday, I'm going to take you to the church. Sammy fell again. And I was, okay, it's not like I fail. I think the instructor doesn't love me. The instructor was against me. That's not true. I failed. So I came back. Gave me 2 more weeks. I prepared myself. I went again. I failed again. And I said, well, what is going on with me? I had my friend, a Chinese fellow. I said, can you please help me? We can be doing some practice together. So I bought a car. We've been trying here and there. And then he said, hey, Sammy, you look like you're not among the people who will be driving, eh? You look like you can't drive in your life. I said, what? Don't say that. This is what I'm looking for. You're not a good instructor. You have to encourage me. I changed. I had another instructor. So, and then I had a East Indian fellow. Then he said, well, you're doing good. I said, yeah, I'm doing good. So I went for the test. Did I say for the second time I failed? Yes. And for the third time, boom, I got it. So I came home joyfully. By the way, that day I was fasting. I was even praying and fasting when I went for the third time. And I got it. I came home and I said, my wife, we are now healed. No more standing for the snow outside. We are okay. Amen. So this reminds me, when we put hope, when we trust and continue to put our hope in the Lord God, it may seem that for one time we are disappointed, but the time will come when God will honor our hope by giving us what we've been praying for. Talking about hope, trusting in God or putting your hope in the Lord, it does not disappoint. It does not disappoint. As Paul says in Romans chapter 5, hope in God never makes us ashamed. Someone said this about hope. He said, hope is enough thing that you need so that you remove all actions and fear concerning the future. So you need to have hope. You need to build hope to face the future. It's very important. It's also been said that a man can live about 40 days without food, about 3 days without water, about 8 minutes without air, but only 1 second without hope. If you lose hope for 1 second, terrible thing can happen. That's why this message is to encourage you not to lose hope. Someone else said that hope is that little voice you hear whisper, maybe when it seems like the entire world is shouting no, but a little voice whisper in your heart telling you God can do it. Another one defines hope using the acronym and word, hold on, pain ends. Hold on, pain ends. Can you help me? Turn to your friend, tell him, hold on, pain ends. Oh, there we go. That's right. Hold on, pain ends. What is the truth about the world today? We live in the world with people who have lost hope. That is true. We live in this world where people have lost hope. Maybe you're here, you have lost hope. And sadly, even in the church, we come every Sunday, we pray, we put on good clothes, we praise God, we worship God. And people may ask us how we are doing. We are saying that we are doing okay, we are blessed, we are highly favored, which may be true, but inside, we may not feel exactly that way. If they could do the x-ray of our heart inside, they would see doubt, they would see despair, they would see fear, they would see discouragement, they would see depression, confusion, and too many negative things, because we are living in the world where people have lost hope. But let me tell you, hope in God never, never disappoints. One pastor said this. He said that the trajectory of someone's life is often determined by the measure of hope they have. This is how he shows it. He says, someone may be here and may be stuck in addiction. Listen to this, church. Someone may be here and may be stuck in addiction. And he may be thinking that, am I ever going to experience victory over this sin, over this addiction? But listen, at the moment you lose hope, that moment you accept that your life cannot change. Because when you lose hope, it's the time when you begin to give up. You begin to get the negative attitude toward what you're hoping for. And that's the beginning of losing that hope and failing. Others here may be you are living, you are going through difficulties in your marriage. But remember this, as long as you still have hope that your marriage will be okay, you'll keep praying for it. But how do we know that you lose hope? That very day you quit or you stop praying about your marriage, that's the day you start losing hope. Maybe you're here. Your children, your son, your boy has gone astray, and you've been praying for him or her for a long time. But the very day you stop praying for that person, that's the day you start losing hope, and nothing good will happen. So we are living in the world where people are broken and they've lost hope. But let me tell you, and let me encourage you, putting your hope in God will never disappoint you. I went literally through hell in Africa. When I left Uganda due to the war, due to the war, I came to Uganda, where in the refugee camp for 5 years. Hello. I can't even remember. I don't want to remember that. And the only thing I was telling my people is, if God spared our life in Congo, they didn't kill us, there is something good for us in the future. We got to be strong. We got to cling to the word of God. We're going to cling to the promise of God. We're going to continue to trust God. Something is about to happen. But 5 years was not easy. 5 years was like eternity. It was too long. But hope in the Lord helped us find our way out. And we are here now in Canada with you. Amen. Hallelujah. So where we find in the book, where we read in the history of the lady called Hannah, we're going to find this lady. She went through many things. But the good news is here. She did not lose hope. So what do we find? We can trace her journey this way. From brokenness to belief to the breakthrough. So her journey was, she went through brokenness, but she had a belief, and after all, she got the breakthrough. Hannah, the wife of Elkanah. Hannah had a reason to lose hope and give up and give in to sin, but she believed that God was still having something good for her, so she decided not to give up. What do we find in the life of Hannah? I find many things. Number one, let's see about her brokenness. I find here, first of all, she has a physical problem. She had a physical problem. The Bible says in verse 5, 1 Samuel, the Bible says that Hannah could not give birth to the child because the Lord had closed her womb. Ladies, you understand this. She was desperately looking for a child, but she couldn't because the Lord God closed her womb. This is very hard. For someone who really is desperate to have a child, someone who likes to have a child, someone need a child, but she cannot have a child because God closed her womb. That is a very hard situation for Anna. And I find here she had a physical problem. The Lord has closed her womb. She cannot do nothing. The doctor cannot help. There is no way. That's the hand of God upon her life. And what happened? That was a serious problem for her. Not only she had a physical problem, I also, when I was doing my study here, I found she also had an emotional problem. She had an emotional problem. Verse 6, the Bible says here, because the Lord has closed Anna's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. That is Penina. So this went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of God to pray, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more than the 10 children or 10 sons? So we can see here Hannah suffered also emotionally. She was not a happy lady. She was not a happy woman. She suffered emotionally and even abused by her rival. She was weeping, could not eat, was downhearted. We can say she was emotionally disappointed. And remember that other lady, Penina, she was there trying to mess up with Anna, trying to make Anna unhappy, trying to, every day she was trying to challenge Anna in the negative way. But let me tell you, Church of God, you may be here. Someone is looking down on you. Someone is just laughing at you. Someone is looking like you are nothing. You are not going nowhere. God is on your side. I say God is on your side. Don't lose hope. God is on your side. We also see not only she had a physical problem, she has a spirit, she has an emotional problem, but I found out that she also had a spiritual and very, very spiritual problem. From verse 9, the Bible says, we read here that once when they had finished eating and drinking at Shiloh, Anna stood up. Now Eliah the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Anna prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly, and she made the vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on her. You know, as she kept praying, she kept on praying, looking after God, praying, seeking God, Eliah, the priest, the man of God, the anointed man of God, the man to whom you go with your problem and you believe he will encourage you, he will give you some hope. But what happened here, we see Hannah encountered a spiritual problem even at the temple. Eliah observed her mouth. Anna was praying in her heart and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eliah thought she was drunk and said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. Can you imagine that? Hello, church. You are going to the church. You are going to pray. You are deeply in sorrow. You are bleeding inside of you. You are crying. And you want to come to the church and you want to get a relief. You want to meet someone who's going to tell you it's okay. God has heard your prayer. But instead of that, you just encounter a terrible challenge in the church. Hallelujah. That's a spiritual challenge, spiritual problem. And I don't know if someone would come back to that church again. I went to that church instead of the pastor to pray for me, and the pastor told me I was drunk. You know, that's a very challenge. But what happened? What happened? So it's very difficult in this life when you have a need and you run to the priest and yet they don't see your problem as a big deal. Instead, they only think that you are drunk, and the only thing the priest can see is your sin instead of seeing your problem. Jesus did not do this way. When you come to Jesus, Jesus first deals with your problem. And then he will deal with your situation. So when Jesus met these children, these disciples who were sinking, who were crying on the lake, say, we are going to perish, Lord, we are going to perish. The Bible says he first calmed the wind, he first calmed the wave, and then after then he told the disciple, why have you been afraid? But this was different with Anna. She was challenged. She was mocked. She was even, we can say literally, she was insulted. That was a spiritual problem. I can see that. And not only that Anna had the spiritual problem, but we can also find Anna also suffered. She also had the social problem. Anna also suffered the social problem. The Bible says, when she was living in this situation, she had no value in the society. Why? Because you see, Hannah was unable to have a children, and she lived in a culture that set a high value upon the number of children man wife had. It's like in Africa. That society where Anna was living in, that culture by that time, having children was a value. And not having them was a problem. So she suffered also a social problem. You know, in Africa, many women are abused. They're even being set away, divorced, even kicked because they don't have children. And those who come from Africa, they know that. Too many abuse is taking place in Africa because women cannot conceive, cannot have a child. So it's quite hard. And that's exactly what Anna went through. Her situation turned her husband to become a polygamy. Her husband changed, became a polygamist. At least he said, well, maybe I'm going to have a child if I get another wife. And that's what is happening in Africa. We see someone having many wives because this wife is not producing, is not getting a child, so you're going to get another wife. So Anna suffered the social problem. But the good news here, she did not lose hope. Hallelujah. You know, why do I have to give all about Anna? Why do I go through all that? I go through all that what Anna went through because maybe someone of you here, maybe someone of us here is thinking that your pain or my pain or our pain is so bad and no one is minimizing what you are going through. Maybe you think your problem is so huge that you have a right to give up, you have a right to lose hope. But let me tell you, Hannah literally went through too many problems. Physical problem, social problem, spiritual problem, you know. But all that Anna could not, in all that Anna could not give up. So if this woman, with all those problems that I mentioned, if she could still believe that somehow God can change her situation in spite of her brokenness, she could still believe that things can still be different one day, then I believe this morning, someone's here who is about to lose hope. I want to encourage that God is still able to do amazingly, immeasurably about what you can even pray and think. God is able to answer, to reach out to you, and to solve your problem. So what was the secret of Anna? What was her secret? What was the secret that made her stand strong and overcome all this situation and not lose hope? One thing that we find here, she had hope. First of all, she had hope. And number two, her belief was so strong. Now, we saw about her brokenness. Let us see about how she was strong in the faith. Because she had hope in God, her trouble drove her to pray. Hallelujah. Her trouble, her problem, her situation drove her near God. She went closer and closer to God in prayer. So it's not easier for people who give up hope to pray when we are in a trouble, but it is really a good habit as for us Christians who have hope in God to pray if we are facing difficulties or problems. It's something good. It's a good habit when you are facing difficulties, when you are facing challenges, when you are facing hardship, when you are facing that, I call it a Calvary, that terrible mountain in your life. When you are facing that, it is a good habit to draw near God through prayer. Though it's not easy, but it's a good habit to develop. Say amen. Hallelujah. So why it is good? Because it produces a kind of courage. You know, you get courage when you have someone you trust, you have God, you trust that he is there on your side to help you. So Anna, in her tribulation, in her problem, she decided to draw near God in prayer. Anna's problem led her to pray with fervency, with energy, with determination, and with persistence. So we find in the Bible here, if you read in Judges chapter 3, verse 7 to 11, I love this passage. The Bible says, verse 8, therefore, the anger of the Lord was kindly against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan Rapharaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the people of Israel served Cushan Rapharaim 8 years. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, But when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the people of Israel who saved them, Othniel, the son of Kenaz. And the verse 11 says, so the land had rest for 40 years. So when the children of Israel went through tough time, they left God, and God sent some problem fighting them. And when they cry out to God, God solved their situation. We can see here God is waiting for us always to come to him in our situation, in our problem, in our hard time. We need to come closer to God, seek his face. It is his will that we continue to pray. The Bible says in Psalm verse 50 and chapter 50 verse 15, the Bible says, and call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. It's the will of God that in the midst of our circumstances, in the midst of our problem, in the midst of our difficulties, that we keep our hope strong. And how are we going to keep it strong? By drawing near God through prayer. Hallelujah. So Anna's need brought her closer to God. Because she had hope, God is able to change her situation. Anna was praying so fervently that Elijah thought she was drunk. She prayed out of desperation. She prayed out of passion. She prayed. She touched the throne of God. She clung to God. She fastened herself to God. She prayed so much so that she could not contain herself. She prayed so much that she could not contain her tears. Hallelujah. That was really in desperation. She could just seek God. She could seek God because of her situation. That remind me about Africa. I just remember how people pray in Africa. And you may read me wrong. You may not understand me. You may say, Sammy, why is it you want to just bring us about Africa? Let me tell you this. We are so privileged to be in this country, which is a blessed country, Church of God. Sometimes we take many things for granted here, but we are spoiled here with the blessing. Let me tell you just one example. Our healthcare system here is the best. But let me tell about Africa. In Africa, you are sick and you have no money. There is only one hope for you: to pray, to seek God. You either pray or you die. Because you don't have money. You don't. You either seek God and see the miracle of God, the hand of God, or you die. You lose your hope, you die. One day I was visiting my friend. I was with my wife, who went for the follow-up, praying for people. And then I was visiting my friend. I arrived there, and with my wife, we were there. And unfortunately, we met our friend. She broke a little bit her leg, and her leg was not okay. And then we said, okay, my wife and I, we asked my friend, can we pray for you so that you get healed? Can we lay hand on you according to what the Bible says? Because she's a Christian. Unfortunately, she's a Jehovah's Witness fellow. And I said, can we pray for you so that you get okay? And she said, Sammy, Eva, you just don't know what you're doing here. With this broken leg, I have a chance to get a good house from BC Housing. With this broken leg, I can get a scooter. Don't pray for me now. Wait. When I'll get that house and that scooter, you come. Come and pray for me. You know what reminded me? It reminded me how much we are blessed here. And that blessing can be a hindrance for us to see God. Yes. But you go to Africa, you see how much people are crying before God. They are praying like crazy. You know, sometimes people say, we don't have to speak in tongue when we are praying. Of course, you don't need that, because why do you need to speak in tongue anyway? Everything is there. But in Africa, people really are dying. They have to pray. They have HIV. They have AIDS. They have every kind of problem. They don't have the way out. There is no system. There is no health system. The only way for them to live is to hope in who? To put their hope in God. That's why you see them on the mountain praying. You see them praying, fasting, overnight prayer every day. I can even confess, after we are here in Canada, we are not praying as we used to pray in Africa. I'm sorry for that. Why? Because we are spoiled with the blessing here. There is coffee in the backside. There is food everywhere. You see? But Anna knew that if she could not pray, there was no other way out for her to get a child. So she was praying. She was praying like crazy. She was praying in desperation. And that gave the way out that helped her to get the answer. Praise the name of God. Hallelujah. So Anna, she knew only God was the answer. And she was in that situation, and she was praying and until God helped her. So her trouble gave her the opportunity to pray, and not only that, her trouble gave her the opportunity to forgive. She had to forgive. She had to forgive. Why? Because she knew if she doesn't forgive, her prayer will not work. If she doesn't forgive, God will not hear her prayer. The Bible says, when you stand praying, make sure you forgive. If you don't forgive, even your Father in heaven will not forgive you, and he will not hear your prayer. So she, that problem also gave her an opportunity to forgive. And that is an unusual thing, but it's a very important that we learn to forgive if we want to go to God and pray. She had to forgive herself, number one. She had to forgive herself because she may think, oh, well, I'm this way because I'm just this way. And, you know, many people have just hate themselves. Many people don't love themselves. Many people condemn themselves. Many people, they live in what we call self-condemnation. Self-condemnation that lead people to many worse and bad things. So Anna had to forgive herself and say, I am this way. It's for the glory of God. She had to accept herself. So number two, she had to forgive her husband for his tactlessness. You know, her husband got another wife. She had to forgive her. She had to forgive him, sorry. She also had to forgive Penina the reviler. Why? Because all what she was saying. Not only that, she had to forgive Eliah the priest for all the false accusation. And not only that, she had to break through the feeling of being betrayed by God for his delay of help, because that took a long time. Sometimes we, children of God, we think maybe God has forgotten us. God hates us. God doesn't care about us. And people come to the point that they decide not to follow God. Many people have decided to turn their back against God because they say, God did not care about me. He didn't hear my prayer. What is the use of worshiping God? But Anna decided to stand strong and continue worshiping God and loving. I pray this morning, if someone is here and you feel like God has forgotten you, I pray that you remember that God of Anna is your God. And he is here to help you. So let us see about her breakthrough. Her breakthrough came in her life as she was praying. The Bible says, when she was praying, after praying, she went home and God answered her prayer. So there came a point where she was ready to make a bargain with God. What did she say? She said, God, if you give me a son, I will give him to you so that you will use him. And God took that promise so serious. And what happened? God gave her the son. Actually, that was precisely what he wanted. That's what God had wanted. God was looking for someone to be a prophet in the Israelite people. So he needed a little boy as well, because the leadership of Israel was so corrupt. What was needed was a young boy that God could reveal himself to, and so that start a new leadership in Israel together. So when our will and God's will come together, things are likely to happen. Hallelujah. So when our will, when we are praying for something, the Bible says in 1 John, and we have this confidence that if we pray according to your will, God answer. So Anna was looking for a son, but God was looking for a son whom he will make a prophet. Now the need, that is God's need and Anna's need, their need came together. And what happened? The miracle took place and Anna got the son. So Anna's hope led her to success. Her prayer was answered. And we read in the Bible, in verse 17, the Bible says, Eliah answered, go in peace and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. And if you go down, the Bible says, Elkanah made love to his wife, Anna, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Anna became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked to the Lord for him." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of God. Hallelujah. So we see here, God can answer the prayer if we are really willing not to lose hope, if we are willing not to give up, if you are willing not to lose hope. The Bible says, Church of God, we as Christians, our hope is one day that we will see Jesus, that the Lord will come, that the Lord will come and wipe our tears. That day, there will be no more suffering, no more starving, no more sick, no more sickness and disease. That is our hope. If you read in 1 John chapter 3, the Bible says that whoever has this hope purifies himself. And the reason why we children of God are continuing waiting upon the Lord day in, day out, pressing on, keeping our faith strong, is because we have hope one day our Lord will appear. Hallelujah. Our Lord is coming. So having hope in the Lord is something very important, and it does not put you in shame. It does not deceive you. So she found what she was hoping for. She got what she was believing God for. God answered her prayer, and she had the baby Samuel. That's a good news too, because my name also is Samuel. And let me just give you a little story about myself. Samuel. Samuel is a name which means heard by God, answered by God. The prayer being answered. Samuel. Samuel. El means God, and Samuel being heard by God. What happened for my mother to name me Samuel anyway? She got married, but she was barren for 10 years, but she was not Anna. 10 years in her marriage without any child, my mother. Her name is Florence. She tells me she was praying and praying and praying and praying. Not only that, she went to the doctors, to gynecology, to see if she can still have a child. But she could not conceive for 10 years, my mother. And one day, God remembered her, and she got children. Unfortunately, she got 7 children, 4 passed away, and we remain only 3 of us. But at least, her hope did not disappoint her as well. So we find here, when we put our hope in God, when we trust in the Lord, when we don't give up, when we don't lose our confidence in God, when we don't lose our hope in God, God answers to our prayer. He remembers us. He can do great things in our life as well. That's a good, good lesson. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 that hope in the Lord does not disappoint. Anna was answered. She got what she was looking for. She got what she was praying for. She got what she was believing God for. So their advantage in trials and tribulation. From them, we learn God's way and discover his greatness. In the end of our knowledge, God is deepened. Amazingly, our trouble have a part to play in getting the will of God done. Hannah could not have known, and at the beginning of the story, that her giving this little boy to serve at Shiloh would lead to forward step in kingdom, in God's kingdom, and Samuel would be the kingmaker who brought David to his position and model king to Israel. It all began with Anna and her praying when in trouble. Psalm 33, verse 20 to 22. The Bible says this: "We put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our heart rejoices, for we trust in his holy name. Let your unfailing love surround us, Lord, for our hope is in you alone." Brothers and sisters, I know when you endure a pain for a long time, when you go through a tough situation for a long time, chances are you give up and you lose that hope. But I have a good news for you this morning. God says, keep your hope. Don't lose that hope. Keep trusting in him. Keep believing in him. Keep praying. Keep seeking him. Keep forgiving those who are offending your life. Keep forgiving those who are laughing at you. Keep forgiving those who are not understanding your situation. But most of all, keep your hope on God, because he will never put you down. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. This is our message today. I don't know what you're going through. Maybe in your finances, maybe at your work, maybe in your family, maybe your health, maybe your relationship, maybe your marriage. I just don't know what you're going on, but the Bible is so clear. Our hope is in God. And for our Christian life, for our Christian walk, brothers and sisters, we need to be strong in hope. We need to hope in him. We need to trust in God, because the time will come when our Lord Jesus will appear. And those who are strong in their hope, in their faith, trusting the Lord, that day the Lord will wipe out their tears. And that will be a day of joy. May God bless you. May God bless me. May God bless all of us. May we stand strong. May we keep our hope strong in the Lord. And may God answer our prayers as we trust in him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Father, I thank you. I thank you so much for the message. I don't know about my sister and brother here, but you know every one of us. You know our situation. You know deep down what we are facing. Father, you are God who never changes. The Bible says you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I pray, oh Lord, for my sister and brother here, that you would help them, that you would encourage them, that you would sustain their faith and their hope in you. Because the Bible says, hope in the Lord will never disappoint, will never put us in shame. And Jesus, you are the hope of glory. May you help your church. May you help your people. And I pray, oh Lord, that one day would be the day of testimony. As Anna was praising you in the temple one day, Lord, may you one day show yourself up to them and say and help them so that they may continue to worship and praise your name. And most of all, Lord, I pray that you help us stand strong in our faith as we are waiting for our Lord, Savior, Jesus to come. Help us to stand strong, unmovable, unshakable, so that one day we will see you face to face. Blessed be your name, Lord, and bless your church. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.